Dear kind and righteous Father, we are so thankful for another opportunity you have given us today. Lord, we know this is a new day that we have never seen before, but we thank you, Lord, and relish in your majesty and your glory and your righteousness and your holiness, Lord, to have this opportunity to share the gospel to all those who listen this evening. We say a special prayer this evening, Lord, for family of Brother Gary Montgomery, a faithful gospel preacher who lost his wife Sandra this past Monday. Be with him and comfort his family through this time of bereavement. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity you've given our callers to ask questions and to seek out other information regarding the truth they have heard on this call. Pray, Lord, that we can continue to give them a Bible answer to their Bible questions. Pray, Lord, that you continue to place us in the path of those seeking the truth. We pray for Brother Berentios this evening as he prepares to declare to us the message of the gospel. Pray, Lord, that he teaches those tenets, those precepts, that form of doctrine, those things that are necessary for everyone to hear, for everyone to believe, and for everyone to obey. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless this effort, bless this work, Lord. Pray that our heart and our intent and true is not to be puffed up, is not to promote our own name, Lord, but to win souls for you. We pray, Lord, that you use us in this regard to do those things by which others can hear the gospel. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Flunder, we're very grateful. Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're thankful to have you working with me and all those who are serving with us. We're so grateful tonight to have all of our visitors on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We're very excited tonight to announce we had two baptisms on today that have been listening to our call from Texas here in the area, and we are so thankful that they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ down in Corgan, Texas, near Lufkin. My brother, my nephew was able to assist them and get their baptism taken care of. We want to welcome them to our family. If you want to call them now, you're not a member of Church of Christ. We want you to be baptized. We want you to obey the truth before it's eternally too late. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And to get to heaven, we must do what the Bible says do. We have a speaker tonight in person, Brother Carlos Parentes, and we just want to thank him for joining us. He's a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching, currently Spanish minister at the Gonzales Church of Christ in Louisiana, Gonzales, Louisiana. And we're so thankful he's accepted our invitation, and he's going to bring us a message from, tell us what does the Bible say about being buried with Christ at this time. Brother Carlos, can you give us that answer?
Yes, sir. Good evening, my brothers and friends. It's such a pleasure to be here in connection with you. It's a wonderful blessing always to associate with those that fear the Lord. And somehow we all are seeking for the Lord. If you are listening to this right now, my dear friend, is because you also are looking for the Lord, because you fear him and you are trying to find truth that can take you to heaven. So that is so meaningful for us, and we really appreciate your open heart to truth, nothing but the truth of our good Lord from the Bible, his word, his way to talk to us today, so we can follow that lamp onto our feet and we can be enlightened together. We are tonight talking about a wonderful topic. What does the Bible says about being buried with Jesus or with Christ? And I would like to start these considerations here, this little exposition this night, telling you about a little story that is found in the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, where we find a man that was a very important man in Jesus' time. He was a ruler. He was somebody that knew the Bible very well. He was somebody that knew the Old Testament, which was the part of the Bible that was available for him back then, the law of Moses. This important man came to Jesus with a big concern in his heart. He was seriously struggling within his soul because he knew a fact. He knew a fact, my friend and brother, and he was concerned about fact. about that particular fact that he knew. And he knew also that he needed to do something about that fact. That fact that he knew was Jesus came from God. Jesus came from God. So, if Jesus truly came from God, he knew that he needed to do something about that truth. We're going to read now here the story, a little part of the story, in the book of John, chapter 3, and it says as follows. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answering, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. As you can see here, friend, there was a very important man. He was a part of, or he was member of the most conservative sect of the Jews back then. Even more than conservative, I would say legalistic. They thought they were so righteous, so sane, and they were kind of people that came from heaven to the earth. They have such a great autoesteem about themselves. Well, this man was an important man. He was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler, and he was to see Jesus that night. All these things together is telling us something about him. But what caller of attention tonight, my brethren and friends, what I want to point out here is that this man knew a fact, and he knew Jesus, this man that has been preaching around here, he came from God. He truly came from God, because nobody can teach as he does. Nobody can do the thing that he does unless God is with him. It is interesting, my friends, that we can ask Nicodemus a question here. He said that, Rabbi, I know that you came from God. We could ask him, Nicodemus, how do you know that? How do you know that Jesus really came from God? Well, he answers, because nobody can do the things that Jesus does, that he did, unless God is with him. My brethren and friends, even when it is not that our topic tonight, let me just point very briefly here something important. The miracles, the deeds that Jesus did back then, were with the only purpose that you can clearly see here, to confirm, to make clear that he was whom he was claiming to be. He was the Son of God. He came from God. Therefore, his message is from God too. That's how Nicodemus knew and he realized that Jesus came from God. That was, by the way, the purpose of the miracles. To confirm, to put clear, to let no doubt that Jesus came from God. All that message that he preaches was from God. That has been said, that has been taught, that has been confirmed already, the way that Jesus did it. That's why we don't need any other of these wonders again today, because the gospel, the message that Jesus preach and the apostles do has been already confirmed. And Nicodemus knew that because he saw what he saw in Jesus. And his message was from Jesus. Well, he came with that concern, but you can notice that Jesus went straight ahead and gave him an answer for what was struggling him. Jesus said, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice that Nicodemus, he didn't answer that question, but Jesus knew his mind and soul. Jesus knew that this was a man that was being struggling for a while with this truth. He knew that he was risking a lot coming to Jesus, probably. Maybe his reputation. Maybe his influence in the people. Maybe his status. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee. He was somebody important. He knew all of that. But my dear friend, all of that together was not more important than the truth that he already knew. Jesus came from God. Furthermore, Jesus came from God with a purpose. He needed to find that out. So he risked everything to come. Well, he decided to come by night. Why he came by night, we don't know. We can suppose many things, but the truth is that he came seeking Jesus. He was looking for Jesus. He was trying to give some release to his soul. My friend, probably just like you, if you are listening to this tonight, my dear friend, I know it is because you care about Jesus too. I know that it is because you care about your soul too. And probably you're just like Nicodemus, you are looking for him. You are seeking him. You need to listen him to talk his message. Now, Jesus tell him, well, I tell you something, Nicodemus, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus said. He was thinking, well, what this kid means? A man cannot go back into his mother's womb. So Jesus clarified for him and came back again the second time in verse 5. And Jesus then explained him, truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus said, only one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. You need to come back to life again. In order to come back to life again, you need to be buried. That's what Jesus really means. Paul later related that fact to the way that you can be buried with Jesus today, which is baptism, being immersed with Jesus and coming to life again, but not the same person, a new one. So let's consider for a minute why I need to be buried. Let's consider for a minute the need to be buried. Why do I need to do that? Well, probably the easiest answer, the faster answer that we can give is that one that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. And that is because it's the only way that you can enter the kingdom of God. Have you ever wondered, my dear friend, how the kingdom of God is? Have you ever wondered how could be to be in the kingdom of God? Well, you can be in the kingdom of God. You can be a part of his kingdom, but you need to be buried with him, because the only way to enter is being born again. And the only way to be born again is to be buried with him. Also, you need to be buried with Jesus and be born again because you need to start a new life, because it's the start point of a new life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul, addressing the same situation, the same thing, he said the following: we were buried therefore with him, talking about Jesus, by baptism into death. in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We'll come back to this verse a little later, my brethren and friends, but I want to point out here the last phrase of this verse here when Paul says, we too might walk in newness of life. Why do you need to be buried with Jesus, dear friend? Because you need to walk in a new life. Because you need to be born again. Nobody that is not born again, nobody that is not in a newness of life, walking in a newness of life, can enter the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. You see? A new person, completely new. Who is that? The one that is in Christ. How can I be in Christ then? Well, Paul answered that question too in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, just like Paul is saying here in this other verse in Romans 6:4. That's the way to be in Christ, putting on him. And that happens, Paul says, the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul says, that happens when you are baptized into Christ. Newness of life. That's a reason why you need to be buried with Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44. Now, in this verse, Paul certainly is talking about the resurrection at the end of time when Jesus comes back and everybody that is already buried, that is dead, will be resurrected. But the principle that he mentions here applies completely to this resurrection in Jesus when you are buried with him through baptism. All that he says here applies to that fact too. In 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44, Paul says, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. You see, my friend. Once again, I know that Paul is talking about the late resurrection, but this happened exactly when you are resurrected with Jesus because you were born with him through baptism, as Paul says in Romans 6:4. It's not the same person that comes back to life. It's not the same person that is raised. It's a new person. We know we now walk in the Spirit. In Romans 8:9, Paul said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. New life. Why I need to be buried with Jesus? Number one, because it's the only way that I can enter the kingdom of God, being born again. And number two, because it's the way that I can start to walk in a new life, in a spiritual life. It's unperishable. It is resurrected. It come back to life. Imperishable. It's all in dishonor. That means in sin. Damaged by the sin. But it is raised in glory. You are not the same one. You are buried with Jesus and resurrected with him through baptism. Because you start to walk now in the Spirit. Not in fleshly life, but in spiritual life according to the will of God. And Paul also says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is not longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You see? I've been crucified. That means I died with Jesus. How? Well, I died to sin. I'm not living a sinful life anymore. I'm not going after sin. I live in the Spirit of God through his teaching, through his word, the Bible. I am a new man. So It is not me that lives any longer. It's Jesus that lives in me. Because I am walking in a new life. So, my friend, that these are reasons why you need to be buried with Jesus. Because you need to be born again. You need to be resurrected with him. Now, who should be buried? Let's ask this question. Well, I know that there is a need for that, but who should be buried with Jesus? Well, the simple answer, the most logical and simple and short answer to that question would be, my dear friend, the dead one. In order to be buried, you need to die first, as just Paul said in Galatians 2:20. The dead one. One must die to be one of Jesus' disciples, for instance. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Luke tells us that, and he said, talking about Jesus, he said to all, Jesus talking to a multitude of people following him, and he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me, for my sake, will save it. Notice how Jesus says here, take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross means, my friend, dead. Who wants to follow me needs to die, spiritually speaking. I am talking about dying to sin. Take his cross. You know, in ancient times, in the Roman times, the Roman Empire, crucifixion was kind of the, let's say, the capital punishment back then. When people were sentenced to die, they die on a cross very often. They crucified people. And when somebody was carrying a cross, everybody knew that that person was going straight to death. When Jesus was carrying that cross, everybody knew that he would end crucified on that cross. That means dead. When Jesus says here in this verse that take his cross daily and follow me, take his cross, he is telling us that unless you are willing to die, to kill that old person that was not interested in being saved, that was not walking according to God, that was not trying to do what the Lord, the Creator said, that person must die to give room to a new person, a new life. What that person needs to die, and what happens when you die? You have to be buried. So you die, my friend, in repentance. When you make the decision to change your life, when you turn from running and walking away from God and start walking toward him. When you give your back to sin and you face God and you give your heart and your life to him and start walking according to him, that's repentance. That is when you make that decision to die, but now you need to be buried because you need to be resurrected too. You have to come back to a spiritual life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. You see, Paul says here, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, I have to put to death the deeds of the body, the sinful life, the life according to flesh and not according to the Spirit. I have to die. So he needs to be buried. In order to be buried with Jesus, my friend, you need to make the decision to die to sin, to quit going or looking for sin, going after sin. I'm not saying that you are not going to sin anymore. If I said that, the Bible said that I will be lying and making our Lord a liar in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. We all have sinned. But the difference, my friend, is that you are not going after sin anymore. Eventually, maybe sin goes after you and catch you sometime, maybe. Sometimes we Christians neglect our spiritual life and we realize that suddenly we are in the middle of a sin, maybe. That could happen. But the thing is that you are not willing anymore to do the deeds of the flesh. You are not willing anymore to go after sin because you died to sin. And then you need to be buried with Jesus. So Colossians 3:5 says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You see, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. Only a person that have made this decision that put to death what is earthly, sin, is the one that can be buried with Jesus. Now, this happens, as I said before, when you repent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul said, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment at every point you have proved yourself innocent in the matter. Paul is saying here, my friend, what a wonderful life. What a great life you have now after you repented, after you decide to die to sin and you were buried with Jesus. Now, this is what real repentance is, a real new life that somebody can see clear, just like Paul was able to see it in the Corinthian Christians, and he saw what they were before and now what they are after they put to death all that fleshy life. Question here is, what is repentance then? I said, well, it's when you die to sin, but exactly what is this? How that happened? Well, there are many verses in the scripture that explain that, but I like one in the book of Matthew that with a simple parable Jesus explains wonderfully what exactly repentance is with an illustration. This illustration is about a man that had two sons. And he had one, both of them, to go and work in his vineyard. And one said, I'll go, and he didn't. And the other said, I won't, and then he went. What made that son to go when he said that he wouldn't go? Let's read the verse here. It's in Matthew 21 and verse 28. But what think ye? Jesus asked. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, look at this, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Look at this, my friend. The first son here said, I won't go, and then he went. The question here is, what makes him to do exactly the contrary of what he was doing before? The Bible says, I'm quoting for the King James, the Bible says, he repented. The English Standard Version says, in this verse, he changed his mind. That's exactly what repentance means. To change of mind. Look at it, a young man. He said, no, I won't. And then he said, yes, I will. What made him to do that? The Bible said, because he repented. He changed his mind. So, who needs to be buried with Jesus, my dear friend and brethren? The one that is ready to die to sin, to repent, to change his mind and change his life then. Now, The last question that I would like to answer here is how to be buried. Okay, Brother Carl, we see it clearly now. We need to be buried. If I can be buried with Jesus, only if I die to sin, because only a dead person is the one that can be buried. I need to repent, but tell me, how can I be buried? What that mean? What are you talking about? Just as Nicodemus did with Jesus, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Well, Paul, in just one simple and clear verse, my dear friend, answer that question, and we quote that verse before, and we are going to do it again here, carefully again. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit answered your question to the Apostle Paul, and he recorded for us in this sacred book we call the Bible, and it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been, look at this, my friend, baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." My dear friend, you need to be buried with Jesus if you want to be resurrected with him. You need to be buried with Jesus if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was a man just like you, my dear friend, interested in eternal life. He had concerns within his soul, and he came with that concern to the Lord. Did he obey what the Lord said? I don't know. The advantage that you and I have now, my dear friend, is that we are still with our life in our hands, and we can do something about it. Being buried with Jesus means to be immersed in water, in baptism. So you go with him to be buried because you already decided to put to death the old man and start a new life, coming back to life. You go to be buried with Jesus, but the great news, my friend, is that you are going to be resurrected with him too. And you start a new life, walking according to the Spirit, walking according to the Lord. Let me send you this invitation tonight, my dear friend. Have you been buried with Jesus? Have you decided to put the old life to death, the old man to death? Have you decided to die to sin? If not, I beg you, don't miss the chance to enter the kingdom of heaven. We will love you to share eternity with you. We Christians, members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, we are working hard and doing our best in order to go to heaven. But my dear friend, we want badly, with all our heart, to have you with us. We love to have you with us. And it will be wonderful to spend eternity with people like you, that if you are listening tonight, it is because you are trying to find the Lord. You are looking after the Lord. You have concerns in your heart. Don't finish it with these concerns without an answer. Come to Jesus. Be buried with him in baptism and come into a new life. May the Lord bless you and your home. You'll be my prayers, and hopefully this is going to help you to find the way to heaven. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Carlos. That was certainly a very interesting and well-taught lesson. And to our visitors tonight, we wanted you to hear to be buried with Christ was about baptism. That's what it comes down to, being baptized and being added to the one true church, the Church of Christ. And we have many listening tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ. And that relationship started when you have to be buried under water. And when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you come up and you take your first breath as a child of God, only when you obey the truth. We had two today, Cassandra and her son, Jalen Miles, obeyed the gospel. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. They repented, as Brother Carlos Sewell taught us, about changing their mind, making a decision to be buried with Christ in baptism. Thank you, Brother Carlos. We appreciate you so very much. If you ever in Gonzales, Louisiana, go by and visit with him at the Gonzales Church of Christ there in Gonzales. And we appreciate him so very much. And we're thankful to all our visitors. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you can do like Cassandra did. Just text me, say I'm ready. And she says she's ready, and we made it all happen. No matter where you are, we'll find someone to get you to a Church of Christ, get you to the baptism pool. You're welcome to email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make sure we respond to email. You can text me directly if you like to, like she did today. My number is 281-750-2702. It's on my website. You can go to our website. Follow all the information there you need to know about our calls. They're recorded. My personal information is there. You can email us there as well. Check out our website. Check out the sermons there that are there from Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Just click on sermons. There you can go and see all of our sermons, all of our resources, all of our links. Check out our latest edition, which is the Nationwide Gospel Truth. It's a program that we're sponsoring, and we encourage you to watch it and like it and share it with others. So we're trying to do everything we can from Hollow Heights to reach those who are not members of the Church of Christ and to encourage those who are members of the church. And we thank you so very much. We've had those who come on the call and have texted me or emailed me regarding how to donate toward this program. We have not solicited at all. However, we thank you for your heart to give. If you do want to just do it, it's not that we are asking anyone, but I do want to thank those from the bottom of my heart, because we did not ask you to do that. You've done it anyway. But if you want, if others that have emailed me or texted me about that, like, just go to our email, our website. There is online giving. You're welcome to give. You don't have to. It's just we offer it to those and they want to support the program. It's not a solicitation by any means on our part, but we will. We know Jesus has said it's more blessed to give than to receive, so we allow that. At this time, let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, we love you for loving us. While we were yet sinners, then your Son would die on the cross. As Brother Carlos told us today, he would carry that tree of the cross. What a shameful death for a man who was innocent. And it was us he died for. He became sin for us, and we thank you. And we thank him for being obedient to your will. And though he was the Son, he learned obedience. And we pray that those listening tonight will learn that same obedience. We thank you for those friends and family members such as Brother Samuel Ramirez and others who are getting large numbers of visitors on the call. We thank you for them. We pray for the Bible classes. We pray for those who are listening tonight all over this nation who are considering obeying the truth. And we want them to obey the truth, Lord. Just we pray that they will seek with meekness your engrafted word. And they'll seek truth, God. We know through your word you've taught us, if a man seek you, when he's seeking to be a true worshiper, it is then that you seek him. We've learned that from your word in John 4:23. Thank you for all of our preachers from the month of May. And thank you for all that will speak for us during the month of August as well. Thank you so very much for all you do, Lord. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Again, thank you all for joining us. Join us again tomorrow night for another powerful message from the Word of God, Brother Ariel Clark Jr., New Orleans, Louisiana, the New Testament Church. I pray that you will lay down tonight with a peaceful night's rest. For those who have not obeyed, it's going to be hard to sleep peacefully till you obey the truth. Consider what I said. Good night.